All right. Well, we are recording and we are going to talk about goal setting done right. And I should have put right in air quotes because there's no right or wrong way to do you and to really keep that forward momentum going. But what I really want to do is I want to just kind of train y'all's brain for, obviously this is a time sensitive thing in terms of like everyone's going into the whole new year, new you business, right? So yes, it's timely for right now, but all the thought processes that I'm going to share with you, they are year round, ladies. Like this is just a way of thinking that is going to really help you just streamline your idea of what goal setting is, because there's a lot of that kind of motivational and rah-rah stuff out there in various industries, whether it's the weight loss industry, whether it's the, you know, the change your career industry, whether it's in the, you know, change your business industry, whether it's in the fine love industry, like whatever, any kind of transformation, there's a lot of like goal setting going on. And what we want to do is like, don't get me wrong, like goal setting is awesome. I want you all to be able to intentionally create your life. But it's also like, we have to make sure that it is adhering with how your brain works, or else you're going to fall back into the traps of like setting yourself up for failure, setting yourself up for a losing game, or feeling like a self-sabotager when you can't possibly sustain it. So everything I'm about to share with you, yes, happens to be the end of 2019, and the end of a decade. What? But everything we're going to talk about is relevant all the time. The other thing I want to share about this is that I'm actually not teaching you anything new. And I did that on purpose, right? I might have some different like nuances around the distinctions that we're going to talk about, but nothing I'm teaching you is new. I'm just going to give you some new frameworks around this so that you can see that everything that you need in your life, in your journey, you have access to this. You might just need to manipulate it a little bit differently or tweak some variables. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive on in. Also, this is going to be like parts of this are going to be a little bit interactive. You know, I might say, hey, think about this or write this down. So if you do have pen, if you do have paper, it'd be a great thing for you to just have and take notes, but this will be up in the membership site. So that being said, the first thing we have to do is, why is it not letting me switch slides? There we go. You probably guessed it, right? Everybody is so excited about like, okay, what do I want to do? What's next? Where am I going? Forward thinking, momentum driven, all of that. And don't get me wrong, I am too. I'm definitely already thinking about like what's coming for me next. What are my personal goals? What are my spiritual goals? What are my business goals? What are my goals for you ladies to keep helping you improve your journeys? All that, right? That being said, if all we do is focus on that, we are going to fall into that category of not enoughness. It's never going to be enough. We're always going to be striving, 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 and never actually enjoying the journey, never celebrating what has happened. So whether you're watching this video right now and it's the end of a year, whether you're doing this at the beginning of a month, what I want you to do first is I want you to think about like right now, what are you most proud of? And maybe just jot it down, right? What did you make happen this past year, this past month? You know, honestly, if you're watching this video right now, it's because you drew a line in the sand and you said, my way of living and putting myself last and treating myself like crap, it is no longer acceptable to me. And even though you might have like your ebbs and flows, your ups and downs, you made that radical transition and that transformation this year alone, just drawing that line in the sand. You invested heavily in your future and in your greater self and in your forever self. And so these and that in itself might be your celebrations, right? What was the most or what were the most important decision or decisions that you made this year, right? Did you decide to stop the diet mentality? Most likely if you're here, you did. Did you decide to finally learn how to actually take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally? Did you decide to stop putting yourself last? Did you decide to actually invest in your health rather than drop a bunch of money to not fix any problems and to give yourself short-term change? Did you make a decision to start a relationship, end a relationship, continue a relationship? Did you make a decision to end a career or a journey or a business or anything like that, or start one? Did you decide to go back to school? Did you decide to just stop being such a B-I-T-C-H to yourself? You're like, Leanne, you can say bitch in here. It's okay. All of a sudden you're getting all politically correct on us, Leanne. What's up with that? But anyways, you get the point. Like what were the decisions that you made? These are celebrations, ladies, right? We often overlook them because we're looking at the next thing, the next thing. And then how did that decision shape your life? Like you're here right now. Like think about the up-leveled conversations that you're having, right? Sometimes it's not as apparent to us until we get into a room or a conversation with people that are still like talking about, oh my God, that's so fattening. I can't believe it. Or I ate so much over the holidays. And you're thinking to yourself, oh gosh, I'm so glad I don't play that game anymore. You know what I mean? So how are these decisions shaping your life? Maybe it impacted you socially. Maybe it like, I mean, I have clients that this kind of work, it completely transformed their marriage as in, or their relationships as in like, they either like found new love in their relationship or they decided like, hey, I'm not in a marriage or a relationship that serves me. I want more for myself. Like, I know it sounds like crazy two ends of the spectrum, but like, this is what happens when you find your true self. Like sometimes you find that, you know, you end up eliminating the things in your life that are no longer serving you, even if that's people, I hate to say it, you know? So how did these decisions shape your life, right? What impact did you make this year? So what impact did you have on yourself, your health? How did that impact the different roles that you're playing in your life, right? Who you're being as a friend, as a family member, as a mom, as a leader, as a career woman, as a anything, right? What impact did you make this year? And again, if you're watching this later on in the year, this means like this past year, this past month, this past week, these questions are relevant all the time, right? What challenges did you move through? So another thing is like, ladies, this might be just another way of looking at your daily gratituding journal that we're going to be talking about again. So what challenges did you move through? Like, I know a lot of my clients have like big things, like from literally having terrorist attacks down the road from them to forest fires, like driving them out of their homes, to deaths in the family, to like grieving the loss of a loved one, to finally reconciling grief, you know, to actually having physiological challenges, like, you know, getting walking pneumonia or mono or the flu or a sinus infection. I mean, it all counts, right? Breaking your leg, you're twisting your ankle. You know, what challenges did you move through? Did you like change jobs? Like, did you just have a really like, I personally had like a spiritual like metamorphosis this year, you know what I mean? And it was challenging, but it was amazing, but it challenged the crap out of me. You know, did you have a wake up call? Did you have a breakup? Did you have a health scare? Like what challenges did you move through that you're on the other side of and you can celebrate who you became? Because the next question is, what part of you did you strengthen? Or as you can see in my typos, I apologize. What part of who you are did you strengthen is what I meant to say. Like what new muscle do you have off the back of it, right? So just take a minute. Hopefully you've been writing. Hopefully you've just been thinking about it. What are you celebrating? Because yes, we're going to spend the rest. This is the only slide about this. But we're going to spend the rest of this training and this module talking about, you know, forward thinking. But again, none of it's going to matter if you are totally discarding what's happened, who you've become, and you're not celebrating the air quotes small things as you go. Okay. That being said, we're going to get into a little word nerdery. If you look at my iPhone, this is like the number one icon that I use. It's this little nerdy emoji. But the actual meaning of goal, the reason I wanted to share this with you is because the reason we're so confused about goal setting is because look at all the different definitions of goal. Well, there's one that means the end point of a race of uncertain origin. Okay, we can all kind of get that, right? Another meaning is it's an obstacle or a barrier. A goal, it can actually mean an obstacle or a barrier. Where in your life have you set goals that have actually become a barrier to your freedom, a barrier to your health, a barrier to your happiness? Again, this is just food for thought, okay? Another definition, and this is all from etymology, so there's different, like, I think one of them was Gaelic, one was from Old English. It means to hinder. So again, we're thinking of goals, 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 but oftentimes a goal actually hinders us, right? A way or a course, so it could be like a pathway, an object of an effort, okay? So again, I just wanted you to see there's so many, everything comes back to the meaning that we're giving it. So anytime, and we're going to talk about the intent, but even when you just think about goal setting or a resolution, which, you know, I personally invite you not to use that word because it has so much past stigma associated with it. But like anytime you're creating using any language, you always want to define it and know what you mean about it and what you say about it. Okay. That's really the point of this slide. Okay. So now we're going to move into some foundational concepts and we're going to bring it all together at the end. And I'm going to show you kind of an action plan for if I were to invite you into like, what's the most powerful way to kick off this new year or this new month or whatever it is, I'll share with you that. But the foundational concepts, we're going to talk about three of them. The first one is this idea of short-term versus long-term change. And I talk about it again, this is not new. If you haven't gotten to the modules yet, you will. But this idea of creating neuromagic, it really is worth repeating. Okay. So the big distinction here is the difference between change versus transformation. Most goal setting is about change. And that's where I want to create a really massive pattern interrupt for you ladies. Okay. So short-term change, really, that what that means is it's this conscious, like need energy and thought to do it, prefrontal cortex activity, as in your human brain, your conscious brain has to always be thinking about it. It's very thought and energy intensive, right? I like little fun fact. It's also when you're in your conscious brain, it's very carb intensive. So any of you who are like tempted to cut carbs, it's one of our main sources of energy when we are in that prefrontal cortex, just a little food for thought, no pun intended, or of course it probably was. Anyways, in the other side of a short-term change, like if you want to stay the course, you need to constantly think about it. You need to spend your time, your thought, your energy constantly playing those mind games and tricks on your mental capacity to actually make it stick. We all know what that's like, right? But here's the thing. Change isn't bad or good. It just is. Like this is what we know we have to kind of keep in mind what we're committing to. But that's why we're always going to need that drip feed of motivation or accountability to stick with like a change-based program. So the high intensity, high effort, like willpowering intensive kinds of things is what we're talking about, right? Versus this idea of long-term transformation, which is, again, if you're working with the brain, which we'll talk about it, and you're giving your brain what it needs to truly transform, then yes, you're going to need those conscious reps in the beginning to teach your brain the new tricks. But then after a little while, because your brain is happy, and we're going to talk about that in a second, it will just become you. That's why all of these goggles and these kind of frameworks that I teach you, the more you practice them, the more they become you. And so what happens, especially as you like graduate, so I know this is for current students and graduates, so just little like, you know, future pacing you. What happens oftentimes is my clients, they graduate from this program, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm free, I have it, I own it, and they totally stop the practices and the rituals that got them there. Now, here's the truth. You don't have to do it as much as you did in the beginning, but you can't just abandon it. It's part of like keeping that brain, that musculature, so to speak, in your brain alive. So if you're here and you graduated a while ago and you're wondering like, oh my gosh, I don't have it. And if you stop practicing it altogether, part of it is, yes, that's what happens when you stop practicing it. Just like I know Hebrew, but like I haven't been practicing Hebrew. So if I went to Israel right now, I would be really rusty, but it would come back so quickly because my brain has that hard wiring for it. And it is actually enjoyable, which we'll talk about again, right? So again, I'm kind of throwing in some distinctions within distinctions, but you're picking up what I'm throwing down. So the other side of it is once you get in those reps initially, you're not going to have to spend as much time and energy to stay the course. You won't even have to think about it very much. It will become a part of who you are. Notice I didn't say you won't have to spend any time or energy. You just won't have to spend as much. Okay. It's that descending intensity, but you do have to keep it alive. You can't just ignore it. Okay. That being said, what's the magic ingredient to go from short-term to long-term? It's those positive neuro associations. I literally have somebody knocking at my door right now. I have no, oh crap. Sorry guys. It's my maintenance. Hold on just a second. Hi, come on in. I'm literally recording a video for my clients right now, but come on in, do your thing. And I'll just be in here. Absolutely. Thank you so much. No worries. You're good. All right, ladies, you know how I roll. Life goes on. Okay. So positive neuro associations. So we've talked about this before, and they are the magic ingredient, okay? So if you really want to talk about the fast and effective brain change, as in the kind that's going to stick without you having to spend that much time and energy on it or make a concerted effort to keep it, you're going to want to know about these positive neuroassociations. And so what I mean by that is you've heard me say so many times, when it comes to your brain, what gets fired together gets wired together, okay? Because our brain is constantly making new neuro associations. So whether you're aware of it or not, okay? And that's the thing. Oftentimes we're not aware of it, right? So neuro associations, what they are, basically like Cliff Notes version, they're links that are created in your brain between what you experience and the emotions and thoughts that are connected with it, okay? So that's why you're driving down the road and you hear a song come on and you're like, bam, you're transported back to like the 70s and you can remember the perfume you were wearing and the scarf around your head. I think I just like named a scene out of Thelma and Louise, but you get the point. Because what happens is your brain, it fires and wires these neuro associations alongside it. So here's the thing. Because it's eliciting an experience, I'm just closing this door. Because it's an eliciting an experience, if it's a negative experience, it's going to lay down negative neuro associations, okay? If it's a positive experience, it's going to lay down positive neuro associations, okay? So experiences that elicit positive emotions are going to lay down the positive ones. Ones that elicit negative emotions are going to lay down negative ones, okay? So that being said, talking about brain change, how do you make habits sticky? How do you make momentum actually stick? You've got to make your brain happy. You've got to lay down positive neuroassociations. So that's why if you are feeding your brain, you know, Netflix and sugar and laying on the couch and you're getting dopamine from those things, right? If you take away all of your pleasure and replace it with pain, like workouts that you hate, kale salad that's tasteless, and like, you know, reading a book on aardvarks, like you're gonna have a hole in your brain. It's laying down negative neuro associations and you're never gonna stick with it very long, right? So you've gotta make your brain happy, as in enjoyable, so that it carries out the repetitions that you're gonna need to move that habit to the long-term storage part of your brain. It's called the basal ganglia. And again, we go really deep into this in week 4, in module 4. But basically, like, there's a short-term storage part of your brain and there's a long-term storage part of your brain. And it's called the basal ganglia. And so the biggest factor is pleasure. Or at the very least, it cannot be pain. Okay, so that's why these, you know, new year resolutions, like, you're going from a 0 to 60 mentality, which is another problem in itself, is another form of threat to the brain, which we'll talk about. But it's like so unenjoyable, like workouts that you hate, meal plans that taste like crap. And you wonder why by January 16th, you're like, okay, back to the cheeseburger and, you know, staying on the couch that you once knew, because your brain will go back to the last known location. But if you create habits that actually feel good, that's why we always start with how you want to feel and reverse engineer, you're going to, by default, be laying down those positive neuro associations. So your new habits have to feel good, ladies. You must want to do them. And it's got to be fairly easy, as in it can't be like super energy intensive for very long. Okay. So that being said, and again, we talk about this when we get to, like, we've been talking about experimentation kind of mindset the whole time, but when you get to like this experimentation stuff, like the bottom line is, the hypothesis is it going to be fun and easy? I say feasy, as in like, is it fun, easy, and feasible? Because if it is, you know, it's going to make your brain happy, right? And I say fun-ish, easy-ish, and feasible-ish, because like there's a little bit, like, again, when you make a choice, when you make a decision to transform something, like, yeah, you're going to have to create commitment and maybe do some things that you don't necessarily want to do, but that's the bottom line, is they can't be like horrific or painful, right? Things that you're like, wow, I could actually sustain this. Like, will I be doing this not just 12 days from now, but 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 100 days? Well, 90 to 100 isn't that far, but you know what I meant, right? Because that is the kind of thing that you're, and your inner being knows whether or not you'll actually stick with it. If you really tune into it and say, like, hey, am I really going to be doing like 5 times a week at Orange Theory, which is a very high intensity, like interval training kind of workout, if you haven't heard of it, am I going to really be doing 5 days a week at Orange Theory 6 weeks from now, 12 weeks from now, a year from now? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. And so that's where I invite you again. And this comes back to this idea of self-esteem, like making promises that you can actually keep. Like, don't commit to that crazy stuff, ladies. It's just going to hurt. It's like that short-term gratification trap of feeling good in the moment, or thinking you'll feel good in the moment, for long-term pain, as in you're going to harm your self-esteem because you're going to like lose that trust in yourself. You're better off to just do it right. Okay. The other thing you want to say is like, does this make me a better version of myself? Like, I know I am no good when I am starving and when I'm hangry and when I'm walking around like sore or more or injured or, and I'm talking about like, you know, food and fitness, obviously these are the easiest examples, but also like, you know, just like my ways of being like tend to be, you know, I'll go the personal development route for a second. Like, a lot of times, you know, it causes you to regress yourself and talk about all these things that are like, you know, really painful, and you're digging up the past, and it's like you end up reactive to your family and your friends, and it's like nobody wants to be around you. You know what I mean? So it's like, is the pathway that you're actually taking, is it making you a better version of yourself, right? is it making you feel free? And as we talked about so many times, freedom is the opposite of control. If you feel like you have to control yourself, you are not free, ladies. And that's why we never want to look at food or calories or carbs as the thing that's dictating what we eat. We always want to go by our inner, like our inner compass, our inner being, right? Also, does it make you feel like, speaking of which, you're influencing what you can control and releasing what you cannot control, right? As opposed to trying to control the things that you can't even control anyways, right? Does it make me feel good and does it make me feel happy? So again, we've talked about this a lot with the freedom goggles, the food goggles, the body goggles, the love goggles, which are your inner compass. Does it make you feel good? And if that's the case, reverse engineer it. And if it doesn't, reverse engineer something else, which we'll talk about, okay? And again, it always becomes a matter of trying things on, keeping what feels good, leaving the rest, okay? That being said, the next foundational concept we want to talk about is working in minimums, not in maximums, okay? So remember, that 0 to 60 mentality is a threat to the brain. It's going to not be able to do it very long. So if you're not working out at all, and then you say like, hey, I'm going to start working out 5 days a week for 60 minutes, that's insane. But at the time, your excitement about the end result doesn't make it feel insane, right? But as soon as our brain gets involved, it's a losing game before we even start, because sure, you're gonna be able to white knuckle your way through it for a little while. But afterwards, that feel good motivation that happens at the beginning of any new endeavor, it's gonna wear off, and that threat of change to your brain is gonna start kicking in. And so the solution is really to set yourself up for ease and flow and actual long-term transformation from the very beginning. Like, let's be smart, smarter, not harder, and let's set it up from the beginning in mind. So it's the difference between like not working out at all to saying like, I'm gonna work out 5 days a week, 60 minutes a day, versus like, hey, I'm gonna do 5 minutes a day or five minutes, seven days this week, but radically commit to that 5 minutes a day, as in like make it non-negotiable, right? And then next week, maybe I bump it up to 7 to 10 minutes or whatever it is. I'm just giving you an example and like work your way up. But the point being, you're keeping your brain happy as you go because it's incremental. It's going like, what, instead of a 0 to 10, it's like, what's a 0 to a 1? And then a +1 to a 2, you know, you're plus one-ing it rather than plus 10-ing it, okay? So is it as sexy as the 0 to 60 mentality and the rapid effects that come from it? Absolutely not. There wouldn't be a weight loss industry if it was, right? But how are you feeling after you stop doing it because you can't possibly sustain it anymore? That feels even worse, okay, than the not sexy part of doing it slower. So release that desire for the short-term gratification and just trust me, ladies, okay? Plus, working in minimums is faster and more efficient in the end, because it's the epitome of working smarter. And so here's what I mean. We've talked about this before. It compounds. The minimums compound. And so for example, you know, if you were given a choice to receive $1 million in 1 month or a penny doubled every day for 30 days, which would you choose? Well, people are like, well, give me the $1 million, Leanne, of course. You know, a penny doubled, that sounds like, you know, a lot. But what I'm saying is it's day one, you get one penny, then two, then four, then eight, then 16. So it's compounding. It's not just like times twoing it. It's compounding, right? Look at it. You end up on day 30 with $5,368,709.12, which I'm no mathematician, but that is more than 1 million because of the compound effect. So again, doesn't the $1 million seem sexier in the beginning than a penny compounded every single day for 30 days? Yeah, it does, but it's not, ladies. So this is where we just want to really begin with the end in mind and reverse engineer, okay? Remember, the tiniest tweaks and changes can, and they will, I promise you they will. They'll have the most massive payoff, but only if you are consistent. Consistency over intensity any day, ladies, all day, every day, okay? It's the massive changes that we make and like overhauling your entire life that keeps you from getting consistency and keeps you from getting the reps. Okay. So that's why we have got to work in minimums, not in maximums. And I know it's still a big shift in your thinking because everyone and their mom, which is a technical, you know, quantifiable amount, is telling you to just go hard or go home, or let's do Beachbody and Insanity and like get back on the treadmill 30 minutes a day and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, again, it sounds so great in theory, but it's not, it's just not gonna be sustainable. So, you know, I know it's a big shift in your thinking, but it's one that's crucial that you take on and really own it in every area of your life. And I promise you, it will positively impact every area of your life. Okay. And then our third foundational concept is the intent always shapes the content. The intent always shapes the content. So every experiment, every little thing that we do, it's got to start with the intent. And the rest, the content, like, it's almost like it doesn't even matter if we ignore the first part. Like, any of you who are listening, you've probably been there where you've gotten bogged down in the details of the doing side of the experiment. And the first thing I always say to you is like, okay, did you go through and create your intent for the experiment? It's like, no, I just went into my food experiment. It's like, that's exactly why. What's going to happen is you're going to fall back into old fired and wired patterns where the content leads, where the food leads, where the exercise leads, and you're going to completely lose the who you're being in the midst of it all. And that's what got us here in the first place. We've got to start with the intent. So, you know, we talk about that a lot, but I'll just give you an example. You know, and when you get to your first great big food or great big eating experiment, I give you this specific example where the intent shapes the content. And what I mean by that is, like, before we even talk about the food, before we even talk about, like, grilled chicken or, you know, eggplant, it's the intent. Like, what's the goal? I want to create freedom, permission, enjoyment, and ease. The intent is, like, I want to create more awareness, like that mind, body, brain, food awareness, like connecting to my body through food rather than feeling disconnected to my body because of food, right? The intent might be like, I want to create a feast or abundance mentality where I have unlimited choice of what I can eat and I'm allowed to have as much as I choose, as much as I want through intention, right? Maybe the intent is you got to heal some calorie phobia. Maybe you got to heal some carb phobia. Maybe you got to heal some fat phobia. Maybe you got to heal it all, right? Maybe your intent is to understand your version of hunger. Is it emotional? Is it just this endless hole of hunger when I'm not even hungry and sugar and Netflix isn't filling it? Like, is my stomach playing tricks on me? Do I need more nutrients? Like all these different types of hunger, right? Maybe the intent is just to heal the diet mentality, like using the structure that I give you that has freedom built into it, right? Maybe your intent is, again, freedom, because it's the most important thing you can actually strive for, right? So again, this is an example how, again, if you just started with the food, food and the content would run you and the intent would go by the wayside and you would fall back into old ways of thinking and old ways of being, which is the poison that got you here in the first place, right? So that's why this is just one example of you've got to allow the intent to shape the content. So for whatever your goal is, it really becomes like a matter of like, why do I want to do this? What's the intent for going on experiments? Most people say like, I'm going to just join the gym and I'm going to lose weight. And it's like, no, what's the intention? Do you want to lose weight? Like, so here's actually a really powerful example that I realized for myself. I realized it before and I realized it again recently because again, nothing passes until it teaches you what you need to know. And as you know, I'm on this journey with you. I had this, this desire to kind of just do a little bit of shifting in my own body because I have been going through such a powerful self-image and spiritual metamorphosis. This year, I wanted to kind of memorialize it with a physiological transformation, which I haven't done in like since 2011. So it's been 9 years. It was exactly in my infamous bikini shoot where I found out that I still have this massive fat head sitting on top of a very toned, leaned, tight, like abbed body. When I say fat head, like my self-image goggles were still fat. So, and that's really the last time that I like actually actively, shifted my body composition. I've just been doing the mind, brain, freedom stuff since then, you know, but this year I was just like, you know what? I kind of, you know, I don't want to, just by power of choice, not force, I do kind of want to next summer, notice I picked like, you know, 8 months away or whatever. I want to just feel a little bit like stronger and more confident in a bathing suit. And I want to feel more confident when I'm wearing shorts. And I want to feel more powerful in my body. And so the distinction I gave myself was the last time I did any type of body shifting was it was like starving the fat, starving the ugly, you know, trying to move away from ugly because that's how I felt about myself. And that's what I was, and it was coming from a place of unworthiness of like, if I lose the weight, then I'll finally be worthy. Or, you know, if I lose the weight, then I'll finally be lovable. And it's like, that is an endless hole and the cosmic joke, right? Versus coming from a place of worthiness and self-love and saying, you know what? I also just choose to shift my body composition. Now, this is an example. Obviously this program is not about weight loss. I'm just kind of sharing what's going on in my personal world, but I had to have some conversation with myself. I was like, I want to come from a place of like, I want to feel strong and I want to feel powerful and I want to feel confident. And I want it to come from a place of, I already feel beautiful. I just want to you know, get in the best shape of my life at the age of 37. There's nothing wrong with that. So again, the intent is shaping my content. Now, if I just went and said, I'm going to hire a trainer and I'm going to hire a nutritionist and blah, 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 and all that, it's like everything. I would have fallen back into my old patterns. I guarantee it, because the brain goes to the last known location. So the intent that shapes the content is so important, ladies. In fact, it is everything. So just keep that in mind. Okay. So again, the intent and the content are what are going to create the outcome. So first comes the intent, then comes the content. Do not be tempted to go the other way around, ladies. This is how we create the outcome that you want. Okay. Another way of saying that, okay, is the being. Who do you want to be and how do you want to feel is where you start. Then you identify, you reverse engineer the actions and the doing, and that's what creates the outcome, okay? Again, I get it. It's not sexy, right? It's not toned abs and, you know, beach body, whatever. You can tell I'm so out of the loop when it comes to the lingo of like body transformation, but you get the point, right? But I'm telling you, what matters most is like, who do you want to be when you do it? And you really are either moving in the direction of love or moving in the direction of opposite of love. You're either moving in the direction of acceptance and connection and care or the opposite direction. It really is like binary like that, okay? That being said, here is my invitation to you. So I've laid it all out for you. The big concepts, the short-term change versus long-term transformation. You know, all day, every day, this is a long-term transformation conversation, right? The difference between minimums versus maximums. You know that in order to get the maximal results in the long term, the minimum amount is you need to work in minimums because that's where you're going to get consistency over intensity. And again, that's the long-term conversation, right? And we talked about the intent has to shape the content. Now, here's my invitation to you. If you did want to go, like, what if you're like, Leanne, I really don't know what my goal is this year, right? Or I don't know how to set new intentions. Well, here's my invitation to you if you want to use mine to fill in the blank, okay? And I've talked about this before, but we're going to put it in this new light, okay? It's the magic triad. I can't even read my own writing. It's the magic triad, which means there's three elements of it for all of you rocket scientists, because apparently I'm not my rocket scientist self today. So peace. When I say peace, I mean peace of mind. I mean, it's an energy. It's a frequency. It is peace. You're either at peace or you're at war. And I say energy and frequency as in, yeah, we've looked at that, that emotional frequency scale before. It's in your resource library. It is a physiological chemical response, whether you're aware of it or not. Okay. Freedom as in, are you living in freedom as in you are the chooser of your life and you get to live by choice, or is your life being chosen by you and you're living in a life of control? Okay. And love. Are you moving towards love? Are you giving it? Are you receiving it? Are you vibrating and at the frequency of love, which love is also a frequency according to science, right? And are you being love as a noun and a verb, right? So the how is, and we'll talk about this in detail, the how is really like taking radical ownership of your mindset, your headspace, and your energy. Okay. And we'll talk about that. The freedom is really just mastering the art and the science, because it is a science and it's an art, as in like you've got to make it relevant and relative to you. This idea of reverse engineering. And the cool thing about it, ladies, is yes, it's your key to freedom with food, but it is your key to freedom in every area of your life as well. Okay. And then love. Connection is the key, ladies. It is what your brain is seeking. It is not about dopamine and serotonin. It is about oxytocin. Dopamine and serotonin is a comfort and a distraction to your brain when all it really wants is oxytocin. Okay. That being said, how do we create that? So creating peace. Okay. Again, this is all, the beautiful thing about it is it's all laid out in the tools that you have. Just by creating or following the breadcrumbs that I've laid out for you in this program, you're going to hit all these markers anyways, but I just want to give you the framework. Okay. So creating peace. The mindset. Well, that what I mean by that is changing your state every single day to a state of appreciation, gratitude, and power. As in, ladies, you are not victims to your life. Life is not happening to you. And when we live with drama of like, why is this happening? Why is this like this? Why can't I control this? And don't get me wrong, I have my own inner victim too. I just dial her back in and notice when she's showing up, and I give her a little loving smack across the face. No, just kidding. Part of it is like we have to take radical ownership of our mindset. Are you looking for who you're not being and what you're not doing and what's not working? Or are you looking for what you can influence, what is working? That's why we started with celebrations, right? Your headspace, changing the story you're walking around with every single day. And again, the big overarching conversation I'm shifting you all into from day one is this idea that it is no longer just a physical conversation, that your health is a physical, mental, and social, emotional conversation. And if you have a spiritual life, I do invite you to create that S as the spirit as well. Because again, you're either walking towards it or away from it. And I invite you all, and the truth is we all have a spirit, whether that comes to you in the form of like you're connected to the universe, if that comes in the form of like you're really connected to like nature, if it comes in the form of like you're really connected to like energy and frequency and vibration, if it comes in the form of you have a very deep connection to faith or God or spirit or Jesus or anything, I invite you again, find it, connect to it, grab on. It's a part of who you are. And so I invite you to integrate that in this process the whole time as well. Okay. So changing the story you're walking around with, it's really a simple, like, is it a bitch conversation or a ditch the bitch conversation? Is shame, blame, guilt, comparison, and perfectionism running your life, or is acceptance, connection, and care and your version of the inner compass running your life? And what story are you choosing to look through? And by the way, these are all kind of intertwined as well. You can't really separate them, you know? And then energy. I really mean this. Like, ladies, look at it like a science. Like, your nervous system has a frequency. Is your nervous system nervous or is your nervous system at ease? So using breath, using movement, using connection to your breath and your body to change your state, committing to a mental and emotional state of more relaxation, more ease, more flow. And we talk about this and we practice it really every single week on the call. And I invite you to it every day. It really is a choice. Okay, so this is what I mean by creating peace. It's a mindset, it's a headspace, and it's an energetic vibrational thing. And that's really the magic sauce for that. Okay, now, creating freedom. This is where we get strategic. It's really about a strategy, right? So mastering the art and science of reverse engineering. So we talk about it in week 2 in the freedom goggles. Week 3, you get your food goggles. Week 4, we talk about body goggles and we do go deeper into it in week 7. And then of course, your love goggles are your inner compass, okay? And so I won't say much more than that, other than like, it really is just a matter of like, are you choosing your life? Is freedom ruling your life or is control? And these 4 sets of goggles really are the gateway to that, okay? And then love, this is again, we go so much deeper into this, like there's a whole module, week 4, dedicated to this, but like connection really is the key to your healing, ladies. So if you're feeling anxiety, depression, grief, sadness, anger, longing, feeling lost in this world, feeling alone in this world, feeling misunderstood, feeling any of those things, you're just disconnected from spirit, from your own inner being. Okay. And that can be bridged through the kind of devices that we've talked about in this program, but also just there's nothing that replaces straight up connection to other people. So I know for me, historically, it's just no longer who I am because I radically committed to shifting it. Historically, like when I was in sadness, anger, depression, shame, which is basically what my emotional home was for years, I would isolate. Shame isolated me. I wouldn't talk to people. I wouldn't call people. I would just like curl up in bed and watch TV or whatever. You know, food was also a big comforting space for me for so long. And so part of it is like, I had to realize like connection is the key. So that means connection to self. It means connecting to others. It means connecting to your purpose. And even if you don't, I am so grateful that my purpose is the work that I do, right? But also part of my purpose is contribution to others. So like, if you feel like you're purposeless right now, I promise you, like, there is a way for you to find contribution to others. And one of the times, and actually I put these others up while I talk about this, but, you know, when I'm feeling the most like, damn it, like, I feel like I don't have a direction. What's my purpose? Like my solution is always like, how can I give? How can I contribute? And it started out back, this is years ago when I was in Orlando, I found myself in victim mode and I was like, woe is me. Life is hard. Wah, wah, wah. And I just immediately Googled, Volunteer Opportunities Orlando, and a bunch of stuff popped up. And I found this amazing organization that I got involved with teenage, like really underserved teenage kids whose parents were in prison. It was amazing. And I serve here in Nashville, and like, it's just part of what keeps me grounded to purpose, right? So for those of you who maybe your work isn't purposeful, maybe it is just a job, or maybe, but also like mothers, like I know that's very purposeful, but we all deserve to have something that's a little bit more purposeful, that makes us feel like we're contributing. So that's part of it too. Like if you're one of those people that you're like, I don't know how to feel connected. I want to make more friends and blah, blah, blah. I invite you to go serve and put yourself around people that are less fortunate than you. And it is such a massive perspective shift. Okay. And then of course we talked about it, connection to faith, spirit, universe, creator, higher power, God, whatever that is for you. And then connection to food as opposed to using it as a disconnect, and then connection to your body. So again, that is the magic triad. If you're like, I don't even know where to start for the new year, this is where I would invite you to start, because it will influence every area of your life. If all you do is master your peace of mind, if all you do is master freedom, and if all you do is master love in the capacity that I'm sharing with you, everything will shift for you. Okay. So that is it for this training. Okay. Probably giving you a lot of food for thought. And so what I'll do now is I will stop sharing my screen and I will come over to the chat and see if you guys, have any questions or if you want to talk through any of this. Yeah. Awesome. So let me just open up the chat. Okay, cool. So does anybody, feel free, if you're on your computer, type in the chat. If you're on your phone, *6 will unmute you. Anybody have any questions, any takeaways, anything that you want to get feedback on? If you have specific goals in mind, that you want to talk through and you're like, Leanne, I don't know how to do that and stay in alignment, whatever it is, just feel free to speak up, share, declare. Let's see. Anybody? Anybody? Can you guys still hear me? Oh, wait, there. Awesome. Well, I guess it was pretty self-explanatory then. Does anybody want to share any takeaways or discoveries or ahas or anything?
Hi, thank you so much, Leanne. It's Suzanne. Yes.
Hi.
Hey, thank you for the reminder about like listing out what were the accomplishments that I had this year. Because it's easy, as I was thinking about like, what am I going to do next year? It's easy for me to think I'm starting at ground zero, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And it was empowering for me to think about, you know, what were the relationships that started? What were the relationships that ended? What were the things that are easier now than before? So thank
so
you.
Good.
I'm cleaning out my closet as we do this and just, you know, throwing away a ton of stuff, and it feels awesome.
Absolutely. And I laughed when you said starting from ground zero, because it's just like, that's what I mean by like, these are the cosmic jokes, ladies. You know what I mean? Absolutely. I love that. I love that. Yeah. And that's why I started with that slide, because we all tend to skip over that. We're like, you know, in this forward momentum phase, and we like think we're in that change mentality, and we just forget, we pass over all the awesomeness that's already transpired and we skip over it, you know?
Yep. It's so easy to just think that nothing that we did is going to stick with us, but tons of what
100%.
We're doing are sticking already. Thank you.
100%. You are so welcome. Thanks for that share. Beautiful. Cool. Anyone else? Hey. You can, yeah. Hey.
Hey, it's Jenna.
Hey.
I wanted to jump in there and say, second what Suzanne said, it's nice to go back and go, what happened? What did we do? Mm-hmm. And where did we go with everything? And so I actually started asking myself new questions this year, like, where and what kind of fire is in me today? This week, and goal planning for each week is a different question than I've ever asked myself. And so asking myself new questions, pushing through these challenges of just, you know, who knows what 2020 holds. But yeah, it was a great reminder of, that you can't go forward unless you do have some kind of like, a view of where you've been, you know.
Absolutely.
Because it's easy to go, well, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't accomplish, but the truth is we've all accomplished so much, even if it's, you know, even just being here Like that is not ground zero. That's huge. Starting from top. So.
Oh yeah. I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so easy for us to look back and, you know, look forward and just forget the horizon line, like forget where we came from. It's like, no, ladies, don't forget your roots. Like one of the things that I actually, and it might sound counterintuitive, but like, I noticed this for the first time, maybe like 2 years ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much freedom around food that I have gotten disconnected from the pain and suffering that my clients or the people that haven't found me yet are still in. And I went back and I actually revisited my pain and my shame around it. And I was like, oh my gosh, and that's when I decided I'm never going to forget, because the women that need me to remember what it's like. But I look back at it now with gratitude. I'm like, thank you for that. I would not be able to do this work and connect with these women on these level if I hadn't. And that's what's possible for you too, ladies, is like, I'm telling you, the gold and the wisdom and the muscle is in being able to look back at it. A lot of us, we like don't want to look at it because it was so painful. And it's like, no, when you can look at it, look back on it with tears of gratitude, that is where like some of that massive resilience you didn't know what you're looking for will come from. So absolutely.
Yeah, that's so true. That's when the healing has begun, is when you are no longer in a shame, like a shame spiral, that you're like, you know, it served me. It was what got me through what I needed to get through. And now we're ready to move on to the next thing.
That's amazing. I love it. Thanks for bringing that to the forefront as well. You rock. Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Betsy, thank you for doing this. Good reminders as we start the new year. You are so welcome, Betsy. Glad to have you here. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else want to feel free to unmute yourself, or star 6 if you're on the phone, we'll unmute you. Always an invitation without expectation. Awesome. Well, I will go ahead and I'll get this up in the membership site as well for you. I'm so glad that you could make it. And feel free to just, you know, always reach out to me if you have any more questions about this, if you want to get some more clarity around it. Hopefully it's going to keep you from doing that 0 to 60 mentality this year, because we all have the tendency to do that. But just know that you are supported and you are loved. And this year is whatever you want it to be. It really is. So awesome, ladies. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to connecting with each of you very, very soon. And happy new year. Awesome. Bye, ladies.